Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on Member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 16th of, let's call it April, Anno Domini 2016. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. The Department of Homeland Security. Let me repeat that. The Department of Homeland Security is echoing Trend Micro's advice to uninstall QuickTime if you have it on your Windows computer. While the multimedia program is working just fine, the security firm has discovered two new critical vulnerabilities lurking within it that could allow remote attackers to take over your system. Unfortunately, they might never be patched. Apple will no longer release security updates for the Windows version of the software, hence the call to jettison it immediately. The good news is that Trend Micro hasn't spotted any active attacks targeting these specific vulnerabilities yet. But both they and Homeland Security stress that because Apple has abandoned the program, the only way to protect yourself from potential threats is to dump it. Windows has a lot of safer alternatives that you can use anyway. Those flaws don't affect QuickTime. These flaws, by the way, do not affect QuickTime for Mac in any way, though, so OS X users can carry on. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Homeland Security says uninstall Windows QuickTime. Your choices are never had it, already removed it, I'll do that immediately. No, I love QuickTime. And who the what now? And so far, who the what now is our big winner. Followed by never had it, followed by already removed it, followed by I'll do that immediately. And two people actually love QuickTime. Okay. You'll probably have more to say about this. Including those of you who are confused about whether or not this is only for Windows or also for Mac. So if you join us in the forum, scroll down on the right, you'll see under Fascinating Stuff, the first link is the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. And so far, at least, the number one choice on the poll discussion is 16 April 16. Homeland Security says uninstall Windows QuickTime. It is, and of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
It is used by iTunes to play videos that you've purchased from the iTunes store. So I wonder what's going to happen there.
Well, people are going to have to make a choice between being completely insecure or not using it.
VLH will play it.
VLC probably will. A different MPEG-4 player.
VLC should play it without any trouble.
Yeah, you just tell it to take over everything, you know, as far as playing movies and clips.
Well, the real question is, does iTunes use the system calls in Windows to do that, or does it just assume you're going to have QuickTime and the hell with you?
Right. and if it then supports the iTunes digital copy protection. Music has no protection, but movies still do.
Right.
And so that becomes a problem too. But how many people are watching that on their computer now? They're watching it on their phone and casting it to their television.
Right.
So maybe that's part of what Apple's
thinking. Well, that's the thing.
I think Apple is just basically saying, let's try to get people away from Windows by not putting stuff on Windows.
Yeah, you have an iPad. In fact, well, who was it? Phil that said that at the last keynote when they were talking about the new iPad Pro. About 100 million Windows computers are still running. They're more than 5 years old, still running Windows 7.
Mm-hmm.
Those poor Windows people, you should just buy one of our iPads. was basically what he said.
Well, I'm running Windows 7 on my desktop unit, but you know, I've got the Chromebook.
Yeah,
and I don't worry about that. And like you say, I probably wouldn't watch a movie on my Chromebook, but I've got an HDMI port on it that I can hook it right up to my 55-inch TV and stream it right to that.
Yep. Big television, yeah.
Yeah.
Or you can use Chromecast
as
well to cast whatever's on your screen to the TV. So, yeah.
A lot of options.
And when you look at some of those long HDMI cables, it sometimes costs more than getting the Chromecast or the Apple TV box.
Well, that's because people have to buy the gold-plated, caviar-filled, whatever.
Well, when you have a 30 or 40-foot cable, the gold can
help. The gold is important.
The 6-foot cable that when you have your computer sitting right next to the TV, it's when you're on the couch 15, 20 feet away where you need a longer cable.
Right.
So that's easier to get one of the wireless boxes.
Wait a minute. If you're watching it on the couch, why do you have to have the long cable? Why not just
cast it?
Because you have to start it from the couch. You can't start it on the TV and then sit down.
Depends on what you have. If you've got a,
little TV stand or something and set it next to the TV, start it up, go back on your couch and watch it.
No, that would require people to get up and walk around. I should be the last one to talk, but we're way too lazy to do that.
Yeah.
3-foot cable.
And that's why it's easier to use the casting boxes like the Chromecast or the Apple TV or what's interesting is there's no one box that does everything yet.
Right.
So if you get if you get stuff from, and probably won't be, if you get stuff from the iTunes store, you have to get an Apple TV. The Amazon store is almost only the Amazon Fire, but there are a couple of boxes that can support some of the Amazon content. But then Chromecast can do anything in Chrome on your browser. And so it's, was it $35 for the Chromecast?
Yeah, Chromecast is $35, and it already does a lot of stuff by itself. It does Netflix and things like that, so it does Pandora, it does all that stuff, $35.
Yeah.
Plug it in, boom, you're done, and then you can cast from any Chrome browser on any operating system. So, it's actually kind of pretty cool.
Pandora and all that I've got built into my TV.
And a lot of the TVs are actually Google TVs,
yeah,
and so you can get Chromecast built right into them as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff you can do. And of course, a lot of the apps that run on Android will also run on not the Chromecast, but the Nexus Player, which I have, any of the Nexus Players. So
you can get an audio-only version of the Chromecast for $35.
Yeah.
Or audio and video for $35.
Yeah. Your point?
Yeah. What? So it's the same box, it just turned off the video?
Yeah.
They cover the HDMI port?
Yes. Yeah. I believe the Chromecast audio has higher quality audio, I think. I haven't paid any attention because I don't have one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's a lot to that. What interests me is that
it's got an RCA jack if you have old.
Oh, there you go. That makes sense. If you're using QuickTime, are you still using the MOV format, or is that deprecated?
What's interesting is it's an MOV file with an MPEG in it. So there's the wrapper around the file, but it's an MPEG inside the file.
So if I use something that doesn't do MOVs,
it still should do the MPEG inside of it.
Okay.
In fact, some people have found that just by renaming the MOV to MPG or MPEG, it will often work.
Well, and this is, but it still confuses me. What Apple is essentially saying is we're cutting out a huge portion of our market.
Or
we're just abandoning it.
Yeah. Or they've realized that there are not that many people using it on Windows itself because everyone is using tablets or phones.
Well, maybe. I mean, they would know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe. Let's go to the phones. Our first caller is James from Rochester, New York. Hiya, James. What's up?
Oh, yes. I have a question. Is there an email program, like for Internet Explorer, if you're surfing the web, that you can send an email of that page or that link easily, like with one click?
That's based on the browser. That has nothing to do with the email program.
Right. So what you're really looking for is an add-on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you still using Internet Explorer?
Yeah.
That's built into Safari. I think it's built into Chrome,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Internet Explorer, there used to be a mail button.
Yeah, it's built into Chrome. email page location.
Internet Explorer 11 does have a send link by email option that used to be there, but it seems to be...
Is there a program you can add on Explorer?
If you at the top of the browser, there's a little blank area.
Mm-hmm.
Right click on that and you get a drop down menu. If you select the command bar,
mm-hmm.
You should still have that page button and all that other stuff as well. I have IE somewhere on this machine.
Hold on. You can always copy the link from the address and make a new message yourself, but that's annoying.
That is annoying, yes.
Yeah, like on the Chrome, you can put an add-on with the one-click thing.
Yeah.
Is it in the command bar?
You
may have to customize the IE command bar and put the send link button back.
Yeah, the real problem, of course, is that with the command bar... There is a, yes, if you open up that command bar, like mm-hmm. I said, there's that blank area at the top, right click on it, select command bar.
Mm-hmm.
One of the choices under that is page. There's a new menu. Mm-hmm. One is called page, and under page it says send page by email or send link by email.
All right, then that's what I would want.
There you go.
Page or link. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Bye.
Yeah, if you send the page, they get all of the ads, too.
Well, yeah. You would really want to send...
Does IE have a reader mode, like Chrome and Firefox, that turn off all the ads and just show you the text?
I don't know. You had to ask me that just after I closed it, didn't you?
Yeah, none of us use IE.
Yeah.
That may be the easiest answer is don't use IE. Use, it's Chrome that has that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Some people think that Internet Explorer is the one they have to use.
Yeah, because they've been told that.
Because well,
there's a lot, of places that still tell. No, that's what you got to use.
And that's the only one. There.
No,
well,
you don't.
That's the only one they support. That doesn't mean it's the only one you have to use.
Right.
Mm.
I'm looking for reader mode.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know what reader is, a lot of web browsers, Chrome, Safari, I think Firefox now has reader mode,
mm-hmm.
where normally you go to a website and to read an article, and there's full of ads and distractions around the outside of the article. Reader mode will basically open a new window and strip all that stuff off and show you just the text of your the article you actually want to see on that page, and that's a lot easier to then read those pages.
Oh, there's some kind of cool things in this command bar, actually. You can turn on and off a pop-up blocker. There's developer tools, OneNote notes.
And there is a reader mode in IE 11. Let's see how you turn it on.
Interesting. Pretty cool stuff, actually.
Certificate cannot be trusted. Okay. All right. Techreview.com, your security certificate expired on April 12th. Please renew it.
Yes. Don't look at me. I'm not tech review.
Right. But usually that wasn't Friday. It's usually when a company's mm-hmm. certificate will expire on a Friday or a Saturday where they don't notice it until Monday morning.
Right.
Well, the 12th was several days ago. You should have noticed it by now.
You know, one would think. But
yeah.
I wonder if they judge it also on the activity, whether.
Yeah, right.
You know?
No one has gone to Tech Review to report that their certificate is expired.
Yeah, right. It could be. Yeah. It could be low traffic depending on, what's going on or whatever.
Yeah.
There could be other extenuating circumstances that they just didn't catch.
Well, I don't see anything called reader mode here. We're looking at the various toolbars. And
a new button on the right side of the address bar should pop up if it can do reader mode on that page.
Oh, there you go. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 19 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites.
This is an important story for all those of you who use wireless mice. Alongside its batch of mandatory security update patches released Tuesday, Microsoft also issued an optional update aimed at protecting Windows computers against an attack that could hijack wireless mice to execute malicious commands. Yes, those of you who've been using wireless mice innocently attached to your computer have been opening yourselves up to being taken over on the internet. The attack, not so cleverly dubbed Mousejack, affects wireless mice and keyboards from many manufacturers, including Microsoft. So it's not just mice, it's also keyboards. It was discovered and presented earlier this year by security researchers from Internet of Things security firm Bastille Networks. Mousejack exploits several vulnerabilities in the communications protocol between the USB dongles plugged into computers and the wireless mice and keyboards that are paired with them. These flaws allow attackers to spoof a wireless mouse from up to 100 meters away.
Meters?
Meters, which is over 100 yards.
Wow.
Which is more than a football field.
Isn't Bluetooth supposed to be 30 feet?
That's Bluetooth. This is wireless.
Yeah, Wi-Fi is 400 feet.
Yep.
So now we're talking about 100 meters. That's 400 feet.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a long way.
That's a long way away. And send rogue keystrokes instead of clicks to a computer. The new KB3152550, and I hope Steve will put that URL up. He's doing that right now.
If I can spell it right.
KB.
KB.
Read that again.
KB3152550.
Okay. There we are.
There we are. Where was I? I was talking about 550. Yeah. That new update blocks this type of attack through a driver that filters input from affected Microsoft wireless mice to make sure there are no QWERTY keyframes that normally indicate keyboard traffic. That, of course, doesn't protect you from somebody hijacking your wireless keyboard connection. But the update is available for Windows 7, 8.1, and 10, but not Windows Server. It only protects standalone wireless mice and not those that are bundled together with a keyboard as part of Microsoft's desktop set products because it doesn't protect keyboards. According to a Microsoft security advisory, the devices affected by this attack are Sculpt Ergonomic Mouse, Sculpt Mobile Mouse, Wireless Mobile Mouse 3000 version 2, Wireless Mobile Mouse 3500, which is clearly better than 3000, Wireless Mobile Mouse 4000, ooh, Wireless Mouse 1000, Wireless Mouse 2000, Wireless Mouse 5000, and Arc Touch Mouse, which doesn't have a number. Mark Newland, one of the Bastille security researchers who developed the Mousejack attack, criticized the limits of Microsoft's patch on Twitter. Windows users are still vulnerable to Mousejack attacks via Microsoft mice after the patch. He said, injection still works against MS Sculpt Ergonomic Mouse and non-Microsoft mice. Either way, Microsoft, and you'll see what they've done is they've protected Microsoft mice and very few others. Either way, Microsoft mouse owners are better off installing the update. If Windows automatic updates are enabled, the patch will be downloaded and installed automatically. Users who have their OS configured for manual updates can still install the fix by the instructions provided by Microsoft in the knowledge base article that Steve is connecting to. So, do you own a wireless mouse and or keyboard? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, I just got a wireless for my Chromebook.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at times I take it upstairs and that and...
Sure.
Instead of playing around with that stupid touchpad and that... Wireless is just handier at times.
Well, one of the problems with any of the wireless mice or keyboard from any manufacturer on any laptop or desktop or any platform is the fact that they are hijackable.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Because it's just a radio signal. Radio goes everywhere, and anybody who has the right equipment can read your keystrokes. They can read your mouse movements as well, which you think, that's not going to do any good. But those mouse movements are quite precise. They reflect an exact area of the screen.
Coordinates.
Right. So they will know if you are pulling down a specific menu. And then they will see what you type in, and they can, and that's not just the address you're going to, but your usernames and passwords. If you go to, for example, some form of banking.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about not doing banking out in the world, but a lot of people will go somewhere and, you know, to a cafe or whatever and log into Facebook or log into whatever. If you're using a wireless mouse and keyboard, someone up to a football field away can pick that up.
And that goes way back to, I remember the days of, with the PC Junior, and that little chiclet keyboard.
Yep.
Remember your story that you stood outside the store and could sit there, and I can remember sitting in a class one time and playing on it, and you aim it towards somebody else's computer, and you could sit there and change it.
I did that in a class once to all the people in the front row. I set their machines to play music while the guy was talking. He was so angry. And, of course, nobody knew it was me.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the back.
Love it.
Yeah, but Chuck one day stood out right in the middle of Main Street and was controlling the computer from the middle, dodging traffic,
so, yeah.
But controlling the computer.
But, so this is nothing new. It's just, I mean, it's been out there, and you just got to, like anything else, we've been saying, you know, viruses and spyware and malware, it's a game of leapfrog. You know, they constantly patch it, and then they find a way around this hole.
Well, my
back and forth.
Thought lately has been that the bad guys have decided it's easier to make a fake ad claiming you're infected than to actually make a virus to infect you. Because they can earn more money that way.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't even have to write the virus. They just have to draw an ad. And the ads are ugly anyway. It's just flashing text.
And sometimes the English is horrible.
And that's usually how you can tell it's a fake ad, because the grammar is awkward.
Yeah.
Because they're usually not native English speakers. Mm-hmm. Right? There's a new batch of them now where it'll speak the warning to you. So you get this friendly female voice saying, do not close your browser. You know, do not. Call our phone.
Right.
Call our phone as soon as you can, or someone's going to steal your money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you call the phone, someone is going to steal your money.
Yeah. Well, it's
if you're lucky, they only steal your money.
Yeah, right.
I got another couple darn cell phone. You know, get out there, and I've had two attempts for folks to have me call back because my credit card has been compromised, and I need to call them right away because this could be very impact. Only problem, I don't have a credit card.
Right.
I don't have one.
I usually...
Well, you have that one you forgot about.
Yeah. Yeah. I've gotten the calls that say, you know, we've detected a problem with your Windows computer.
Yeah.
I say, okay. Wow, okay. Are you sitting at it right now? Yes, I am. I'm sitting at my computer, my Chromebook.
No.
I was doing this. I was sitting at the kitchen table with my little Chromebook. And there isn't
a start menu.
You're right.
I can't find the start menu. Right.
So they started leading me through things. They said, listen, we can fix this, but we'll need your credit card number. I said, oh, here on the ward, we're not allowed to have credit card numbers or cutlery. Can you send me some cutlery?
Yeah.
The guy hung up.
I knew a guy once that would get the telemarketers like that, and he would say, oh, you're caller 29. You've won the fabulous cruise and new vacation. And they would fall for it. And, oh, my God. And start giving them, giving him their information.
Oh, that's nice. I had one of those call me once, and I started to cry on the phone. I said, oh, my God, I've never won anything. This is so great. It's the best day of my life.
I was going to kill myself, and now I'm not.
The guy started to apologize. He said, well, listen, I'm really sorry. You haven't won any. And he hung up on me by the time I was done crying.
Not cut out for a life of
crime.
Telephone fraud.
Well, it's like the
telephone fraud.
Well, it's like the time I got sent, what was it? $500 traveler checks.
Yep. Nice.
And they looked as official as all get out. As a matter of fact, I turned them over to my friend who works with the sheriff's department. And he goes, these are the best that they had seen.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was is this guy was sending me this stuff. I was supposed to cash those, get these parts, send those to him, and keep the rest of the money.
Oh, yeah.
And I says, yeah, blah, blah. So they wanted me, and we kept egging him on. Well, no, because he called me next. Did you get them? No, I hadn't gotten them yet. You know, I'm in and out. And so we were able to, and they were trying to track him down. And I get him on the phone again, and... You know, going through this whole scenario. Well, I just got him, and, you know, geez, it's not, well, you know, if you don't want to take advantage of this, you can send him back to us. That's, well, you know, give me a few days. So, again, yeah, we stretched it out for over a week and a half, and I think they wound up catching these guys down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, they were, you know, an offshore company. They were just had a, one of those, like, in a vacant office, you know, pretty yeah, much a vacant building. They occupied an office, and then
Without telling the landlord.
Yeah, and they'd move, you know?
Yeah.
Boom. Yep. Just hook up a phone or use that as base operation with cell phones, and boom, gone.
One of our customers is fighting with this right now, and we tried to tell her, yeah, it's fake, and, well, no, she went to the bank. The bank said it was good and cashed it for her. And so now, you know, we're worried that, yeah, the cashier's check was probably good, but mm-hmm, drawn on a stolen account.
Yes.
And, you know, oh, wait a month. As soon as that person, if they you know, reconcile their checkbook, they'll notice it's fake.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to take the money back away from her because.
Yes.
On the other hand, if she cashed the check and deposited it, she'd keep the interest.
True.
That's not a bad deal.
Mm-hmm.
It started out, she was selling
maybe.
Yeah.
Because it's fraud.
You don't know that.
No, I don't, but I'm just wondering if they'd use that.
No, I mean, I'm saying I went to the bank. The bank said this was a good check.
Yeah.
I deposited it.
Mm-hmm.
How is that fraud?
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
It was good when you deposit it, and then it turned out to be reported.
Then it turned out to be bad. I'm giving you back
but
the money.
Yeah.
No harm, no foul.
Yeah, but if you knew you were getting it for...
It seemed too good to be true.
Yeah, ill-gotten gains.
Well, no. They just, they just wanted me to pay the movers.
I'm not a lawyer, and I don't play one on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
We ran into that with a stolen credit card a couple years ago. Someone had placed an online order. In fact, we've stopped taking out-of-town orders on our web store because so much fraud. So someone had placed an order. We called the bank to ask them if we put a charge, if it would go through, and the bank said yes, and so we did. And then shipped the thing off, and then our bank took the money away from us because it was fraudulent. It turned out we should have asked, has the credit card been reported stolen? And the answer would have been yes.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't
because,
it?
Because, you know, a lot of times the cops and the banking officials will leave the account open to try to catch the bad guys.
Yep. Yeah.
So, well, but they won't volunteer information. So, will the card work if I run the charge? Yes.
Well, I had the same thing. I had one company send me 4 different charge cards. They say you can charge, you know, so much on this one, so much on this one, so much.
Yeah, there's no red flag there.
Yeah, and to take, I could keep, money for my time, services, and postage, and all that other stuff. Nah, that one didn't happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, I turned that one over to, again, my friends downtown, and let them investigate it.
That's exactly right. That's their job, and they're good at it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The toys that they have down there would stagger your mind.
Yeah, speaking of toys, if you know where to look on the dark web, on the underweb, you can find keyboard readers, wireless keyboard reader devices.
Mm-hmm.
$100, $150, and bang, you've got one. There are other ways, by the way. If you take, there's software which you can get for free all over the underweb as well. If I can record you typing for 15 minutes, this program will decode what it is you typed. In addition, there's a great program you can get for your phone that uses the motion sensor. So I put the phone down near your keyboard, not real close, but if you and I are sitting next to each other in a cafe
coffee
and
shop,
you're typing, right. And it will record your keystrokes, and then I only have to tell it whether I had it on your left side or your right side, and it will figure out what you typed. Yes. So if I'm typing someplace and somebody puts their phone down next to me, I stop typing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an idiot. I stopped typing.
Yeah. Well, it's just like they also have it because they showed it on the web. This guy built this device, and he carries it around. It's no bigger than a tablet.
Yep.
And he's got the hardware in there, and all he's got to do is come up next to you. And if you've got your credit cards in there with the chips and all that stuff in there, he can suck in all your information. And he goes by, and he can sit there and tell the folks, I just got your all your information, because like you've got the protection a lot of folks are getting these new credit cards with a chip in it, and it comes with an envelope. Folks, do not throw that envelope out.
That's not just a shipping envelope.
Yeah, that's not just a shipping envelope to keep it protected. That's to protect you from your identity being stolen because they can literally go right by you, standing in line, like Nick said, getting coffee. This guy could have anybody around him. If they don't have their chip card protected, he's got all your information.
And you can buy them almost anywhere. When we took our cruise, of course, we got passports, and we bought a package. We bought, obviously, two of them because there were two of us, but it comes with one of those holders for your passport and four for your credit cards.
Yeah, it used to be that you would do that so that the magnetic stripes didn't interfere with each other. Now you have to do it so the bad guys don't steal your stuff.
Right. Going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, you 40 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. You know, the feds might never let Apple in on the secret of the technique they used to unlock the San Bernardino shooter's iPhone 5C.
Well, why should they?
Didn't they say they didn't know?
According to Reuters, the hackers who discovered the flaw that led to the FBI's iPhone cracking tool have the sole legal ownership of the method. Agents might not even know what the vulnerability is or how its resulting hardware works exactly. If you'll recall, a recent Washington Post report revealed that the feds got help from a group of hackers from outside the United States with a history of selling software vulnerabilities to the U.S. government. They were paid a flat fee for the flaw they brought to the FBI and the tool they developed. FBI Director James B. Comey said that during a private conference last week that the government is considering whether to give Apple details about the technique. See, the White House typically subjects the security flaws it gets a hold of to a procedure called the Vulnerabilities Equities Process. It gives various agencies the chance to discuss what should be done to these security flaws and whether they should be disclosed to their respective companies. Unfortunately, the process's rules don't cover vulnerabilities discovered and owned by private companies. The only way the government can decide on this particular flaw's fate is to give the equities process an overhaul, which probably will take 40 or 50 years, considering this Congress has done doodly fart for the last 8 years. Should the government change the rules? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
And the other reason that the government doesn't want to give Apple the code is that Apple would fix the problem and then the government couldn't get into the phones anymore.
Yep.
And they're under no legal obligation to do it anyways. Yeah. Right. Apple didn't want to give it to them, so they got it another way. And
they did say, the FBI did say that it only this specific exploit only works on older phones without the fingerprint reader. So that's okay. Apparently, Apple fixed it in the newer phones.
Right.
But
well, there's also the problem that now people look at Apple phones and think, well, these are not secure.
Yeah. Which they should be thinking about any of the phones.
Any phone, right. Exactly, exactly. But they brought it up about Apple phones.
This is big,
my point. Not that any other phone is any more secure. It's just come to the forefront of your mind with Apple. All right, to the phones. Our next call is to the phones, Robin. Our next caller is Steve from Greece, New York. Hi, Steve. What's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just have a quick question about Hyrin's boot disk and Puppy Linux. Could I use Puppy Linux instead of the Hyrin's disk to get into someone's computer to try to fix it?
Oh, yes, theoretically. Many of the same tools are there. I don't honestly know offhand if all of them are the same, but Puppy Linux does give you a number of the same tools that Hyrin's disk gives you. So either one should be usable to get into a machine. That's actually true of almost any bootable version of Linux, by the way.
Okay, it's going to be my next question. I didn't have to use Puppy. I could use anything I could get on a thumb drive.
Yeah, that's sort of one of the standard troubleshooting techniques is boot a different drive.
Right.
That could even be a different Windows drive, but yeah, booting a Linux CD or Linux USB flash drive is a convenient way of doing it.
And one more thing, because you can set up the Linux to dual boot, can that be pre-installed on someone's computer, and if they're having problems getting into their Windows, they can boot the Linux instead?
It could, but if they're having trouble getting into Windows, unless they're pretty much a guru themselves, being able to boot into Linux isn't going to do them a lot of good.
All right, okay.
Right? I mean, you can still be in Linux, and yes, you could do everything you can do in Windows, but they don't know that. They don't know how, and they'll just look at it and throw up their hands and say, oh, it's different.
Yeah. Maybe I could walk them through it, but yeah, you're right. You're right. All right. Well, thank you very much. Keep the show going. Fifth year as a paid member, and keep it going.
That's what we like to hear. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye.
For those of you that do troubleshooting for your family, it is really easy to set up some remote access service. There are some free ones. TeamViewer is free for non-commercial use. Unfortunately, it's the most expensive one for commercial use.
Yeah, right.
But for non-commercial use. And then there's a couple of them. Is join.me still around? There were a couple of them that you don't have to install anything on the other end. You just have them go to a website and type in a code, and then you're controlling their computer. Unfortunately, the bad guys are doing that now.
Well, I was just about to say, if you do that, you make it very clear to them that they should only do that with you.
Yep.
Nobody else ever, ever.
Because you know, they know you. You're controlling their computer. But now the bad guys will with these phone numbers you call, they'll want to remote control your computer to fix the problem. So it's the bad guys always use our tools for nefarious purposes, and then we can't use the tools anymore.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Bob. What's up?
Yeah, hi. I've got two computers. I've got a Dell laptop, Windows 7, and then I've got a Dell pretty powerful laptop running Windows 7. Both use Microsoft wireless mice, okay? And I have my power settings so that, you know, after 20 minutes or so, the monitor dims, and then after maybe another 10 minutes, they both shut off the monitor, okay? So they're always on. I never use the sleep mode. I've noticed that when I go to my laptop and jiggle or move the mouse, I mean, it will bring on the monitor on my desktop, but it also opens up the monitor on the laptop. I've never had this happen before. What's my problem?
Your problem is that that you've had them close enough together that there you must understand that the wireless mice are all on one frequency.
Okay.
And if you've got them close enough together, when you jiggle one of the mice, both of the systems will recognize that and do whatever it is that needs to be done.
Sometimes you can change the channel it's on, and I'm trying to find that on the Microsoft website so that they're not so close to each other. It's like the early days of portable phones where, you know, your phone was on the same frequency as your neighbor's phone and you could hear each other's calls.
Right.
So oftentimes you can change the channel so that you are on a slightly different frequency in order to not have one mouse control another device.
I've never noticed this before, and it just sort of happened in the last few weeks. They're about 10 feet apart.
Yeah, like we said, this can be up to 300, 400 feet. So your best bet is if it depends on the mouse you have. As to whether or not you can change any sort of frequency or whatever, but theoretically,
that may be in the mouse control panel, or there may be a button to uniquely pair the mouse to that computer so it doesn't respond to other mice and other computers. I know Bluetooth sets up a pairing structure so it won't control other devices.
Yeah, but if that were possible, that would be the solution to the other issue we talked about at the top of this segment.
Are these mice Bluetooth connected or just connected wireless?
I don't know which brand you have.
I have a Microsoft.
They're mostly wireless, not Bluetooth.
Well, they're RF wireless or Bluetooth wireless. So there are, the wonderful thing about standards is there's so many to choose from. So there are different types of wireless, and it depends on the mouse. If you only paid $30-$40 for it, it's RF wireless and probably has a dongle plugged into the computer. If you paid $60 or $70 for it, it's probably Bluetooth.
Yeah, okay, no, they're wireless.
Yeah. There are a couple of, I know Logitech will let you, well, I know the Logitech trackball will let you change the frequency. I guess it depends on which one you bought as to whether or not you can do that.
And if they're the same brand and same model, that's probably worse.
Yeah, they're the same brand, but they are a slightly different model.
Yeah.
I would say unpair them both, uninstall them both on both computers, and then install one and get it working, then install the other one and get it working.
And by the way, when you install the other one, shut the first machine down.
So they're not talking to each other.
Right.
Okay, how do you uninstall a mouse?
You go into the device manager and remove it.
Okay.
And what happens then is you then reboot. And the system says, oh, hey, guess what? Now I got a mouse.
Okay, I got you.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yep, Burr, good luck.
Enjoy the show, guys.
Thanks.
Sometimes you may have gotten an install disk with the mouse, and there'll be an uninstall program there as well.
Right.
So there's sort of two halves of it. There's the device driver, and then there's the software drivers.
Right.
Probably you can keep the software drivers, but remove the device, like Nick said.
Right. This is a serious kind of thing. I mean, changing the channel will help him, but it certainly doesn't help the security.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what channel you're on. It's how that's going to work. We got time for another call? Okay. Our next caller is Sam from West Henrietta, New York. Hiya, Sam. What's up?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Sure.
Guys, when I go to I got in my documents, I got like a PDF, okay? And I click on it. If I right-click on the document, I used to have a thing that says move to folder, and then he used to tell me different folders to go on. This is a new computer, okay?
Yeah.
And I haven't got that.
What operating system are you running?
Windows 7.
That should be built into the right-click function.
Yeah, it should be. And you have nothing that says move or anything like that.
I got now open, print, scan, open with Sherwood, restore, send to, cut, copy, create shortcut, delete, rename. But there used to be somewhere it said move the folder, then a little box would pop up and I could take it anywhere I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, there should be a copy to folder and a move to folder button.
Right. There is, oh dear. It's a registry hack. There is a registry hack you can do for that. We don't generally recommend that people...
No, not when it goes into the registry. I wouldn't touch.
Do
recommend
stuff that goes to the move to the registry.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can find a GUI way to do it. So, how did it get turned off is the question, and how did
I had a gateway.
Yeah.
And it got screwed up. So somebody screwed it up, like Magic Jack. They screwed everything up. And I lost all my information on the hard drive. I took it over to, could I say the name of the company that built this?
No, rather.
I went somewhere and they built me a computer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, you could so certainly bring it back to them and let them.
Stuff from my gateway to this one.
Mm-hmm.
You could certainly bring it back to them, and they would charge you to do that. And it's certainly better to have them screw around in your registry than you screw around in your registry.
Uh-huh. All right. I found a safe that's what it's called, the safe way to do it.
Oh, there you go.
Without needing to muck in the registry.
Okay.
So it works in Windows 7 and Windows 8. So
all right. So he's going to post that on the Soundbites webpage. Should be there in about 3 minutes.
Okay. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, yep. Good luck.
So that's one of those core features that I didn't know you could turn off.
Apparently, yes, you can.
Yeah. No, there is.
Yeah.
And there's some other software that I use, but I won't recommend, you know, tell it to other folks because I know what I'm doing. And again, just like I won't walk folks through on, you know, going in, and even though you can find solutions on the web to, oh, go into the registry and work your way down to this, this, and this. No, I won't advocate it because you know what? One wrong keystroke and you can mess up that whole registry.
Which if will you stop your computer from booting at all.
And if you haven't done it before, I do not recommend it. So, folks, well, because I've had a couple of, well.
It's one of those things that's just too dangerous.
They say you can do this and this. Well, then go ahead. Yeah, but I could screw it up. Yes, you could.
Yes. Yes,
and,
you could.
I'm not saying, you know, that you can't, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a send to menu in Windows 10, but it's also very limited.
Yeah.
You can get it to do different things too, but not easily. All right, listen, we're going to take a slightly longer break. You wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense. But we're going to give you the chance to do it again on the other side. We'll be back with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour, and you continue for no discernible reason to listen to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. As we come back with a whole nother hour of sound bites right here on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of this year's Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And we have Amandi from Greece on the line. Hi there. What can we do for you? Hello?
Hi, this is Mandy.
Hi, Mandy.
Have to tell you, Bud says hi. I just had everything compromised, and you were talking about that earlier. Who do you recommend to a service to use? So for me to clean up my mess this afternoon, I would only call one person. I was in the hospital. Everything was compromised, and I've got to start over.
Oh, you mean on your machine was compromised?
No. I'm saying my identification was stolen. Somebody stole stuff out of my purse while I was in the hospital. So I'm going back to an earlier call about
right.
Yep. So you got to call each of the banks you have any credit cards on. You've got to call the DMV for your license.
Well, first you should call the police.
I know I have to do that, but do you all have a service that you like LifeLock or something that you would recommend?
No.
Not really, I'm afraid. Most of them are not as useful as they sound on television.
Okay.
And really your best bet is start with the police. Then immediately.
I just went back to Strong. I filled out my deposition. I filed the police report, and that part is being handled.
Yeah,
good. Then you still need to call your bank and report your credit card stolen because that will immediately
shut them off,
and it means you're no longer liable for what gets spent on them. So and do that immediately.
A lot of times your credit card company has services like that built in to the credit card because they don't want to have the fraudulent charges themselves.
Right.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I know how to cancel everything, but I was just wondering if you all could recommend a particular service that says they'll keep track of your stuff, and then they'll do all the phone calling for you, but
not really.
I'm afraid most of them aren't as, you know, they
diligent.
Talk a good fight on television, but yeah. When you look into them, they're not as good as you might think. Mostly it's not a good way to spend your money. Now, go ahead.
I would say the Consumer Protection Agency has some information on what to do and how to work through it, and we can post that information too.
Yeah, so you can go to the super. Consumer Credit Bureau, the
because you can trust the government, right?
Yeah,
right. The Federal Trade Commission, the Consumer Information Bureau.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck.
Okay.
Good luck,
thank
Mandy.
Thank you all for your help. Bye
yeah.
Now.
Thank you. Good luck.
And
hate to hear that.
It's so bad because then it messes you up. You know, you can't get credit cards. You can't get a loan for a car or a house.
And right.
It was funny. Jackie's identity got stolen once, and we were watching them buy stuff on her credit card. And you know, they went to Tiffany's. Oh, that's okay. They went to BMW. Oh, that's okay. They went to Gateway. No. No, stop.
Stop, no.
That's how long ago it was, too.
Yeah, right. All right, back to the phones. Our friend Scott is calling from Buffalo, New York. Hiya, Scott. What's up?
Well, I have an iPad that only uses Wi-Fi. It doesn't use Verizon. And I use my iPad to when I go out to read poetry. And some of these places don't have Wi-Fi there, so I can just use whatever's on the iPad. I got a note today saying that, do I want to have access to all my library by way of the iCloud? And does that mean that what I have on the iPad now would be deleted and I could only do things if I have Wi-Fi around?
No, it basically will sync the stuff on your iPad up to the cloud, so then you can see that on your other devices. So if you add a contact on your iPad, it will sync it up to the cloud, and then that contact will come down to your computer or your phone.
Oh, okay. Now, if I had on my computer so many books I can't fit books and music and everything on my iPad. I have too much stuff there. So I only select which things I want to have on my iPad.
Well, the iCloud syncing is just contacts and calendars and bookmarks and things like that. You would use iTunes to synchronize data files like books and music and movies.
Right. Well, that's so why I didn't understand the message I got asking me if I want to use iCloud to sync my library, my books.
Right. It doesn't remove them from your machine. It only copies them to iCloud.
And it remembers what books you've purchased on your other devices, so you can download them again. And if you're reading a book, say, on your iPad and your iPhone, it will remember what page you're on. So you can read some on one device and then go to the other device, and it knows what page you were on. So it doesn't automatically download. There's a separate option in settings to automatically download every new purchase. So that you probably want to turn off. But synchronizing the settings is usually something you want to turn on.
Great. I will do that. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
A lot of the syncing stuff we used to do with iTunes before the internet was popular. That's how long iTunes has been around. And so now most of that syncing can be done wirelessly through iCloud. So some people don't trust internet syncing with a cloud service, so they'll still use a USB cable on their computer. But in most cases, it's just so convenient to, especially in a business situation, your secretary adds an appointment to your calendar and it pops up on your iPhone on the road because you're already out and you're syncing through iCloud.
I love Google.
Google offers the same thing.
And Microsoft does the same thing with their devices too.
I mean, the Google Cloud for all my photos. Yeah, I figured out I got over 4,000 photos up there.
Piker.
Thank you.
That's one thing we're hoping Apple catches up on. The Apple doesn't give you much free cloud space. They do have a photo syncing service, but you only get 5 gigs of free space, and people use a lot more than that with photos.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got it wound up because I had it just sync with my computer at home before I shut that machine down, disconnected from the internet, because I have album. You know, of all my woodworking projects and everything else, and photos of my late wife, and you know, just and it was over 4,000 photos. And I just had it started one night, and it was wow, that's going to take a while. So I started it on like a Thursday night, and I just let it go, and it went through Saturday, Friday morning, and for whenever it finishes, but they're all up there. I love it, because whether I'm on my Chromebook, my phone, my tablet, I can pull up these photos. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, you can sort them, you can put, and I love Google, because you can sit there and put in, say, car, and it will find the photos of cars.
Yeah.
Or I could sit there and put them in for my daughter, Amy.
And she finds all the pictures. It's very cool. One of the nice things that Google has done, that you're right, Apple should have caught up on, should have done it ahead of time.
Yeah.
You have two choices when you send photos up to Google. You can keep them in their original format, and that does use part of your storage, which you get 15 gigs, so it's three times what Apple gives you. Or you can have it convert them as long as it's less than 16 megabytes. 16 megapixels. It does not count against your storage. So I have, and I proved this at Rochester Google's a couple of months ago. I have over 15,000 pictures in Google Photos, and it's taking up less than a meg, because I've got a couple of very large pictures that I wanted to keep in the original format. Now, I've still got those in the original format on about six other backup places, but I don't need them in the high resolution up on the web, because I'm only going to be looking at them on screens and phones anyway.
Well, you know, folks are sitting there saying, well, I don't trust that, you know, and I'd rather, you know, put them on CD or backups. I go, well, that can also fail. You know, I mean, you got to be watching.
So many CDs now.
Yeah, right, and hard drives. Yeah. I mean, you can have a hard drive, and hard drives are a mechanical device too. I trust the cloud a little bit more, because they got redundancy as far as their backups. And, you know, I just feel safer. And I like the flexibility of being able to pull them up on any device.
Yeah. And as I've said before, I have high friends in low places at Google. And I see how many times they back up everything.
Yep.
So there's some pretty amazing stuff going on there. Don't forget, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
I want to go back to the identity theft from Andy just a minute. I've been reading through this government website. And one of the things I hadn't thought of is call the credit reporting agencies.
And oh, yeah, Experian, Trans thingy, and the other
Equifax,
one.
Yeah. And you can put a free 90-day fraud alert on your account and get a free credit report because you've had fraud.
Nice.
And so that will stop, you know, whoever stole your identity from trying to open new credit.
And ruin yours.
And ruin yours within that 90 days, yeah.
Yeah, so, Mandy, definitely do those things as well.
Mm-hmm.
So check out that
website.
They've
got a nice little checklist,
That Steve posted. And follow those. There's a what to do right away, what to do next.
Yep.
So follow all of that
stuff.
Take
a deep breath
and
repair the damage.
That's right.
That's what it said.
I had my credit card stolen once, but I already had theft protection on it. So they called me and said, did you just buy a half a dozen fur coats in Florida? And no. In fact, I did not. So they said, oh, okay, we'll cancel this credit card. Come in and get another one. It's okay.
I had the same thing. It was shortly after my wife passed away. $600 worth of makeup and all this other stuff out of California.
There you go.
And they go, well, maybe your wife did. I go, no, she just passed away. Oh, I'm sorry. No, we'll take care of this. And boom. Again, I had to get another card. They go, well, then your card's been compromised. We're sending out you another one. And that is the biggest pain in the
Holy moly, it's the biggest pain. You don't know how many places you put your credit card.
Yes. Yeah. I've gotten to now, because I've had to do it a couple times, because my one card, the only card I got, also got compromised at the Home Depot thing. So I got to send you another card. That taught me to write down all the places that are tied to that, that I haven't just taken out.
And it's
simple,
frightening
like,
how
like
many
easy
there are.
Pass.
Yeah.
Simple one like Easy Pass.
Yep.
That you don't think about every month or two.
Yeah.
Yep. I almost lost a couple of my websites because they're auto-renew.
Yeah.
But they were renewed on the old card. And all of a sudden I got one of them, thank heaven, sent me a notice that said, you know, this failed and you've got 5 days or
That's
7 days or whatever.
Paper invoice?
No, email.
A different email. Well, that, and that's a scam now too. Is the
email still worked? It was just the credit card that was stolen.
The domain registry expiration dates are pretty much public knowledge.
Right.
And so companies will send out in essence fake renewal notices. Your domain's about to expire. You should renew with us. Not the company you actually renewed it from. Right. And so people get these bills and just pay them.
And I almost threw away that email because I thought, yeah, right. And as I was about to hit delete, I said, wait a minute. Yeah. I just had my credit card stolen. So I went back and looked, and sure enough, it was on the old card.
Yep.
So were about a dozen others that were set to expire soon.
Yeah.
I actually, at that point, I then turned around and wrote myself some code that goes out and grabs all the expiration dates for all the websites I own, and I can go look at that list.
Don't you wish you could unify them? They all expire on the same day?
Yeah, right.
But just renew them all at once.
So
but look, this is my list. I have this huge flipping list. I got one expiring on May 31st, and then the next one's not until October, so I'm good. There's a person who really wants my daughter's when my daughter was born, I took out AmeliaRose.com, which for any number of years she didn't use because she was a baby.
Yeah.
So I started getting all these notices. We'd like to buy it. No, it's the only – there's only one Ellen Powerful, by the way. There's only ever going to be one AmeliaRose.com.
Yep.
And I want her to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have not –
well, unless the price is awful good.
Well, the price would have to be awful good. Yeah, it wasn't that good.
I mean, a million plus.
If they want to pay for her graduate school, then I will sell that domain in a hot New York
minute. Like I say, start the bidding at a million and let's go. Some sheik or somebody might,
right.
Want it.
But that one's still good till 2018. So I'm good there. But I've got a dozen different domains in there, so I have to keep track of when they expire.
And you'll be first in line to renew that one.
Oh, I can renew it at any time. Just add another 3 years onto it if I want to. I guess.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
I always look at that. Well, the domain I can do a 10-year renewal. I'll probably still want that domain in 10 years, won't I?
Exactly.
Probably.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. It's Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, and we have Bodan from Rochester, New York on the line. Hiya, Bodan. What's up?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. A couple of questions related all to the OS X operating system. I recently bought a brand-new computer for myself. It's a Christmas present. And I'm weeding out using my old XP, and I'm getting used to the new style of OS X.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. Yeah, Windows 10?
Yeah, operating system 10, yeah.
No, OS X is Macintosh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Windows 10. I said OS 10, meaning the operating system.
Yeah, right.
So that's what I'm using. But the question that I do run now, the Security Tangle, one of the things that I noticed different from the XP, and though I'm using it less, when I run Super Anti-Spyware, which is one of the programs in the Security Tangle, I'm getting hundreds of tracking cookies in the new computer, where in the old computer I may have gotten 24 at the most. Has anybody else noticed why am I getting so many more tracking cookies with Microsoft Edge, for example?
That's the there you go. Yeah. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, because Windows 10 spies on you.
Yeah. Windows 10, Edge is allowing all of those cookies to run.
As Captain Kirk would say, how do I put up my shields?
Yeah, right. It's the same way you did on others. You download a... hold on, Microsoft Edge. You want a cookie settings. I'm looking it up. Okay. More. You go into Edge.
Uh-huh.
Under More, you select Settings.
Okay.
Then you want to view Advanced Settings. And then one of the selections down you may have to scroll will be cookies. And there's three options, allow and block and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I see the block only third-party cookies. So that's what I currently have. I was doing it block all cookies.
Well, that's up to you, right? I mean, you know, I personally tend to block all cookies and then just allow certain websites.
Yeah, because some websites won't work if you don't have
cookies. Yeah, I know,
out.
Right. That's true. So, right. Okay.
But that's more work. I mean, that's obviously you're going to be going to those sites and then they don't work. And then you pull down the cookie thing and you say, okay, allow this cookie. Then you go there again and it works. And so it's a little more work the first time you go to any of these sites. But once you've done that, you're more protected.
Got it. Now, the other one is also related to a friend of mine has upgraded his computer, and I believe he was running 7, and he did an upgrade about six, eight weeks ago to Windows 10. He got a free upgrade. Now he's telling me that the snap, crackle, pop, everything is like in slow motion. He doesn't know what's running in the background. I told him to actually take the computer to shop. When he upgraded, maybe there are stuff in the registry or the BIOS that didn't get properly transformed. From you guys, when you hear stories about people that have done the free upgrade from operating system 7 to 10, what is the cause of slowdown? Or is it the fact that maybe his processor just can't handle 10?
Could be. It also depends on the amount of memory he's got in the machine, too.
RAM is the big one.
Yeah.
RAM is the big one. So he did the free upgrade thinking that he's going to be, you know, running like, you know, something new and improved, but
you know the old saying,
new doesn't mean improved.
There's lies, damned lies, and how much stuff you need to run Windows.
Yeah.
The reality is Microsoft will tell you it will run in 1 gig. Yes, it will, but response time is measured with calendars.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You want a minimum of 4 gigs of RAM, to have any sort of response. I have 8 gigs of RAM now. Granted, I'm used to a Linux machine and I'm used to Chromebooks.
Yeah.
But I get nuts. I've got 8 gigs of RAM on this thing and it's slow.
Okay. So maybe that's what he just needs to do is time for him to upgrade it.
Well, the other thing too, Bodin, is that you don't know the other variables. Is it a full... is it a Celeron processor or is it a regular, you know, like an I, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, see, there's
know,
a lot of there's a lot of
the weekend, and he was just telling me he's disappointed after he did the upgrade to 10.
Yeah, and you don't know if it's shared memory or, you know, he's got his own dedicated video card. I mean,
multiple things, Sam.
Yeah,
there's a whole lot of stuff, but it's mostly hardware related.
Now, Nick, you teach at RIT.
Yeah.
Actually, at work, my employer, we had an internal department contest, and I actually won and received an Apple iPad Air 2 16 gig Wi-Fi. Currently, that's a $400 gift. Not bad.
Not bad.
But here's the deal. I'm not into it because I basically, even though I have Wi-Fi in the house, I also bought myself a brand new computer with a 24-inch widescreen monitor and stuff like that. Does the RIT newspaper, or should I just put it on Craigslist and have to deal with people coming over? I'm looking to sell it for $300, which is $100 off of the going price, and of course they would save the sales tax.
That's not bad. I don't know that RIT would be the right place for that.
No? Okay.
I don't. I suspect that 90% of the students will look on Craigslist anyway.
Okay. And just go that route there.
But a lot of times we call that the living room computer. You're in the living room on the couch, you're watching TV, and you want to look something up.
I'm too old for that, so guess what? I can walk 10 feet, and I can sit down in my beautiful lounge chair in front of a 24-inch widescreen monitor.
We're too lazy for that.
What's that?
We're too lazy for that.
Yeah, I'd rather have that than sitting, you know. Yeah, so whatever. I thought I'd just run that idea by because I know, Nick, I believe you still are a teacher.
Yeah. But I suspect about 90% of our students actually look on Craigslist anyway.
Okay. But $300 would be a fair price for a brand new unopened box.
That would be more than fair.
Okay. Good enough.
Gentlemen,
always enjoy talking to you and thank you for your time.
And congratulations on your win.
Thank you.
The problem is that's going to sound like a scam.
Yeah, it is.
I just won this iPad and I want to sell it. Yeah. Who'd you steal it from?
Right. Well, I suppose he can get a letter from his boss or
whoever.
Yeah,
who they want it from, a letter of authenticity.
That's right. Assuming they believe the boss. But if it's on company letterhead and, you know, that sort of thing, that's kind of what you need to do. And, I get it. There are people who are not Mac people. and they do not use Macintosh products, and they don't care to learn to use Mac products.
An iPad works just fine like with Windows and Chrome, too.
What?
An iPad can work fine with Windows if you want it to.
Well, I know that, and I get that, yep. But there are people who just don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the way they work.
Well,
he is
using OS X.
But it's not the way they work. It's not the way they want to do things. I do get that. I do get that. I know people who bought a tablet and then just sold it because they don't do tablets. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's an iPad. It's the fact that they don't do tablets.
Yep.
And it's just not the way they work, you know, and there is no one-size-fits-all solution. By the way, this whole OS X business, that may be going away. One of the things Apple has hinted at is that they may be changing the name of the operating system from OS X to Mac OS, which is what everybody calls it anyway.
Right, and that's the same thing Windows is doing. The next version of Windows is going to be called Windows.
Just Windows, not Windows 10 or 11 or 15.
It's still going to have a number in it to differentiate it, so we in the service industry are still going to be calling it by whatever number it has.
Right, but not the average public.
Yeah.
They're not going to have that.
We've been joking about that OS X brand name is what? The first OS X came out in 2001, so that's 15 years we've had OS X.
Right.
We've been wondering what happened to OS 11.
Right.
Because it goes to 11 now. And so when they went from 10.9 to 10.10.
The Niles Tufnell version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went from 9.9 to 10.10. Okay, 10.11. It's now the numerologists are getting mad.
Yeah, right.
So the next version 10.11
is actually 10.11.
But it's...
So is it between 10.1 and 10.2?
No, it's better than 10.10.
No, it can't be because that's the way numbers work.
That's 10.1. It's not in Apple terms. It's not
of course,
a decimal
Apple's
number.
Never understood numbers anyway.
No.
You know, it's 8.11.j left elbow 33.
Yeah.
So
they got to make a science out of it.
They're not going to do a thing at that. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Huh. But yeah, so
each digit is counted independently.
No,
whatever.
Digits are aggregated to a number is what that actually is doing. But yeah, so Apple is talking about changing the name of OS X to Mac OS, which also means that people won't be going OS X. Oh, it's OS X, you idiot!
Wait, now they're copying Windows again. Because Windows is now going to, after Windows 10,
it's just going to
be called Windows.
You said that when you were out of the room.
Now Mac.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was where I couldn't hear the radio.
Right.
And it's just going to go.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. No, I get it. And Windows has a fairly generic name, but we know that Windows is Windows. Chrome OS is Chrome OS. Mm-hmm. Linux is Linux.
Well, what's confusing
but
with Chrome
OS
is that
OS X is it doesn't. Part of the problem with OS X is that it doesn't call out either Apple or Mac.
Yeah.
As part of it, Windows
used to
is actually Microsoft Windows.
Yeah, it used to be called Mac OS X.
Right.
And they took the Mac name off of it a couple years ago.
Right. What? Now they're putting the Mac name back and taking the X.
Yeah.
Mac OS.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Which is what everybody calls it. I'm using the Mac OS.
Yeah. It was back when they took the ink off Apple Computer Inc.
Right.
Well, it's just like we always say.
I'm sorry, not the ink, the computer. They took the computer out, so now they're just Apple.
It's just
ink.
Apple.
Which
Apple
we do ink. Here. You're running Mac, PC, or Unix.
Yeah.
You know,
right?
I mean,
right.
We ask those three.
Well, we get angry about that because the Macintosh is a personal computer. The
okay.
Macintosh is a PC.
Right. And, oh, by the way, it runs Unix.
It runs Unix, yeah.
So are you running Mac, PC, or Unix? The answer is yes.
Yes, all three, yes. It is a personal computer and running Mac and Unix.
It's a system that hasn't made up its mind.
Yeah, exactly.
And now Windows is going to run Bash, so it's got Unix under there, too.
I can't wait for that. I cannot wait for that. I mean, I have this Windows machine that I use as rarely as possible. But if it's going to run Bash, I might use it a little more, which is, of course, their point.
Yep.
Right? That's what they want. I'm still going to run my Linux boxes because they run real Bash and do real things, but we'll see.
And the next version of Windows is called Redstone.
Right, right.
Due out this summer.
Oh, you were asking, you know, what phone that I had?
Yeah.
I was checking out. Due out this September is going to be the Galaxy Note 6 in September.
Yeah,
and I look at some of the specs, and it's like,
I have to be honest. I've been thinking about a new phone. Not that I can afford it, but I've been thinking about it, and I'm not sure that I want to go with any phone that isn't a direct Google Nexus phone. Because right now I'm a version behind on Android, and it's strictly down to Samsung and Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
Google puts out a new version of Android, then Samsung has to fool around with it before they hand it over to Verizon, who has to fool around with it. And then, you know, every dog has to mark the tree, and the big dog has to be last. So I'm behind a version because of them. All right, back to the...
go ahead. Related on that, I remember because of the security problems that get fixed in new versions, there's a bill pending in some state, I forget which one, probably California, to require handset makers to update their phones for as long as they're being sold, at least, if not longer.
Right.
So that, you know, this won't happen, that, you know, the new version fixes all these horrible problems, your company has to make a version.
I'm shocked nobody has sued either the maker or the carrier if they get caught by something, because Google's fixed the problem and they haven't received the update yet.
Yeah, it comes down to, oh, well.
Yeah,
basically. Yeah.
And we're complacent about it, and the phone companies certainly don't care, and the phone makers certainly don't care, yep. Or cell companies don't care, and the phone makers certainly don't care. So
I'm waiting for the lawsuits of these hospitals that keep getting hit with ransomware.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Is that the music? There it is. We're going to take a quick break. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. We'll get to you in just a couple of minutes. We'll be back with a whole lot more of Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and I think we have Greg from, what, California? On the line, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we have Greg from somewhere in California. Where in California, Greg?
Temecula.
Temecula.
That's 60 miles south of L.A. and 60 miles north of San Diego in the wine country.
Nice.
Yeah, I probably passed through there a couple times.
Wine country is the best place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
whatever state you're in. What can we do to make you happier, Greg?
Okay, my question is about browsers.
Yeah.
I am tired of being tracked sometimes. You know, too much stuff shows up when I do these browsers. I'm wondering, is it better to use something like Incognito on Google, or is it better to just download Tor and use that?
Tor is certainly... probably the best, but pretty much every browser has a do not track feature.
And the problem is a lot of the advertisers don't honor that setting.
Right. Tor would make you somewhat more... For those of you who don't know, Tor stands for the Onion Router. It was originally designed to be a router, that was anonymous. And now there's the Tor browser, which talks to public Tor routers to keep you anonymized on the web. And yes, that's probably right now at least the best way to do that.
But Tor can be a lot slower than regular web.
Right.
Because it's routing your traffic through more and more servers.
Okay.
The incognito mode or private browsing is probably the easiest way to do it without losing as much speed as Tor would give you. The problem is a lot of websites the good reason for setting cookies and remembering stuff about you. You lose that option, too.
Right. The other part of the problem is, of course, just because you're anonymous doesn't mean you can't be found. When you are running any browser from your home machine, one of the pieces of information that goes out is the return address. Otherwise, how are they going to get stuff back to you?
And then your internet service provider knows everywhere you go because they're sending you there.
Right. So if you use Tor, then your internet service provider only knows you go to a Tor router. And the other end only knows it's sending stuff to a Tor router. Now, if you want to get super paranoid, whoever runs that Tor router could keep track of where you're going.
And there are allegations that the NSA is running their own Tor routers.
Right. So there's really, you know, when you get right down to it, the question becomes, who do you want to be anonymous to? And how anonymous do you want to be?
In my case, not very many people. I just don't like all these people that call me on the phone and, you know, somehow get my email address and send me all this crap.
Well, that's usually because someone you know sent you an email in public.
Right. There's not much you can do about that, sadly. What I tend to do is there's a nifty trick in Gmail. So my email address, let's say, is greg@gmail.com. I can use as my email address, Greg, the plus sign, and something else. So, for example, if I'm buying a piece of hardware from Newegg.
Gotcha.
They want my email address. I can say I'm greg+newegg@gmail.com. It still comes to me, but I know who it came from.
So you can know who sold your email address.
And if they sell your email address, almost never is there a human being who looks at that and says, "Hey, that's us." You know, it's all automated. So that way I know at least who sold it. And I can then set up a filter that blocks stuff from that address.
Got it. So I have one last question.
Yeah.
I just read a Jack Reacher novel.
Oh, yeah.
God. And that one, he talks about the deep web. Is there truly such a thing as the deep web?
Yes, absolutely there is. Yeah, there's actually, you'll hear it given different names. Dark web, which they're actually now using for websites that have disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dark web or the dead web. And then there's the deep web or the underweb, which are the places you don't know to go to that are out there, and they are not.
Often tracked, on the Tor network.
Right. Often on the Tor network. They're not tracked by Google or anybody else. But they're out there, and you can buy dang near anything you want. It is the Wild West, and it is not a pleasant place.
Yeah, you get caught doing some stuff there, you could get yourself in trouble.
That's one of the reasons.
I just read the Reacher novel, and I was just fascinated by the fact that people actually can go these places, and I don't know how accurate that Reacher novel was.
Very.
There's a TV show, CSI Cyber, and they do a really good job of explaining real technology and real hacking terms, which is interesting. It's one of the most accurate of the technology type shows.
I read the same Reacher book. I can't tell you exactly which title it was at this point, but I read that same Reacher book, and they're pretty accurate.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons that Tor gets a bad reputation is because the bad guys are using it for anonymity. But when the good guys want to use it, or you know, political dissidents want to use it because what they're saying is illegal in their country. So this is, again, the bad guys have usurped all of our tools.
Okay, two things. First, Tor is about the most anonymous you can be on the web, but if you want to get paranoid enough, it's not anonymous enough. But it is unlikely that anybody who runs a Tor network is really, really cares about you.
So use a VPN to another country and then from there get onto Tor.
Right. There are ways to do that. And the second thing is Tom Cruise is not Jack Reacher. I just need that to be said. Jack Reacher is 6.5 feet tall, weighs 250 pounds, and is solid muscle. Tom Cruise is 4'11". Every time he takes his shirt off, I want to hug him and give him a sandwich.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I know it's poorly reviewed movie because of the fact that Tom Cruise is so tiny.
Yeah. I just had to say that.
Well, it's supposed to show how good he is because he's that small and can still kick butt.
Yeah, it was a good movie, but he wasn't.
That's what Sulu said.
Right.
That's what Sulu said when he flipped the tall giant guy. Don't call me tiny.
Right. All right. Sorry. Yeah, we got kind of off track there. Any other questions?
No. Thank you. You've been very helpful.
Thank you. Keep calling.
And
tell everybody in California.
For years, so.
That's what we want to hear. Tell everybody in California to tune in.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks. My assumption is he's listening on the web. I don't think our signal skips to California. Yeah.
Not during the day, at least. I just read an interview with Lee Child, the author of the Jack Reacher novels, and when he was developing these books and trying to come up with a name for the character, you know, he wasn't working, didn't have anything to do, so his wife kept making him come to the grocery store with him to reach the stuff on a high shelf. And she said, if your books don't sell off, you could get a job as a Reacher.
Yep.
And that's where the name came from.
He also has said, not blatantly, but he has implied when people say to him, how could you let them put Tom Cruise in that role? He basically said, I don't care about the movies.
Yeah.
I'm making money off the movies. I just care about the books. Read the books.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Pat from Batavia, New York. Hiya, Pat. What's up?
Oh, not too much. I was just out to lunch earlier, so I don't know if my question is something that was addressed. But two things. First of all, I enjoyed the Rochester Googles group.
Good. Thank
that
you.
I attended recently. Did a great job, Nick, as usual.
Thank you.
I didn't get to see the secret handshake, so I don't know if maybe you have to go a couple times before you do that.
Yeah, it's you have to be vetted first. We are searching you on Google and the deep web, so eventually you'll get it.
Okay, but seriously, I came across something just recently that apparently has been around for a while, and that's a free version of Microsoft Office 2016. Are you guys aware of this, or is this still offered? Or, I mean, the things that I saw were from 2015 when they were describing it, and somehow in 2015 I missed it.
The web versions are free unless you want to save data to your OneDrive.
Okay, so you're talking about the office.com?
Yeah.
Okay. Because there was, now maybe this is an offer that's no longer available, but there was a couple different sites that were mentioning you could download a free copy of Office 2016, but I didn't see any expiration. I figured it had been 30 days or something like that. And I was just kind of curious if you were familiar with anything that you downloaded of Office 2016.
Well, you can certainly do that if you are a student. If you have a .edu email address, you can get Office Professional Plus free. And certainly, and also, by the way, Windows 10 free, although right now everybody gets Office 10 for free, so that's like a big deal. But there is a preview that's free, and you can try the new Office for free. If you go to office.com, you can download it for free
on the tablet
apps. But it's a 1 month free trial, and then it's $10 a month after that.
The tablet apps are free also.
Right,
and the tablet apps are free, and
unless you want to save to OneDrive.
Right, yeah. And I'm using it for free on the web, but again, not saving it to OneDrive. But I can go to the web version and it will work fine for me. So I'm not, Microsoft doesn't usually give things away for free, except apparently Windows 10 for a year.
And I just found malware claiming to be Windows Office 2016 for free.
That's part of the issue.
It downloaded a 300K file. That's my Office 2016 download. I'll install that.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. But
okay,
yeah,
just to remind people, what was the date that you can get the next version of Office for free? I mean,
mid-July.
The next version of Windows. Is it June or?
The end of June, beginning
summer
of July.
Summer is all they said.
Yeah, somewhere along in there. We'll look that up, but unfortunately, we're done. We have to get out of here. Thank you. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco.
We will be at the Rochester Soho Show, which is Wednesday, April 20th. Rochester Riverside Convention Center.
Rochester Riverside Convention Center. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow.
For Dave Enright, for Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back here in just 166 hours with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites and the truly great and solely member supported Jazz 90.1. Thanks for listening.